And joining us on the line is Dan Carcillo, former NHLer and now mental health advocate. We want to get to that in just a moment. But, Daniel, good morning.
How are you?
Excellent, thank you. Appreciate you taking the time. You know what? First things first, you played under Joel Quenneville. Just your reaction to the shocks, to the Hawks cutting bait on the three-time Stanley Cup champion coach.
Yeah, it's hockey operations trying to save their job, basically. Stan Bowman, Al Mikhazik. I don't think it's the right move, but, that's what happens. You know, you get rid of a Stanley Cup winning coach and you bring in a 33-year-old and then Barry Smith, who's Scotty Bowman's best friend. It just rings false to me. So
they would usually use the adage, you know, the time for a new voice. Do you think that's what they're going with right now? I mean, you played for him. You know that core group of guys. There was no disconnect, was there, with Coach Q and the team?
Absolutely not. The only disconnect came from Coach Q in that front office. And everybody knew about it. Everyone still knows about it. There was a lot of tension. But, I mean, I'd take Coach Q over that front office all day long. You know, you've got a guy in the front office who retired his own jersey in the East Coast Hockey League. It's a little weird.
Hey, Dan, last Friday I had a tweet that said Sven Berchi's agent, you know, was ticked off with the way Berchi got his concussion, and you kind of latched onto that tweet. Tell us a little bit about the Berchi incident in Vancouver and how it caught your attention.
Just basically somebody brought it across my Twitter feed. I advocate for proper education, understanding, diagnosis, and care of a traumatic brain injury. I've had hundreds of them. I know what proper treatment is. I also know what kind of treatment or lack thereof that I got in the League of Denial. I know that from seeing quotes and that proper education is still not being provided. It won't be provided until they can settle this concussion lawsuit. Hopefully the sooner the better. So that players right now who are at risk for repetitive head trauma, and every player is at risk, it's not just fighters, you know, those players will get the proper understanding and diagnosis and care that they deserve, you know. So that's why I do this, is to just hopefully somebody won't leave the game in the position that I was in with the chemical imbalance on my brain and not predisposed to mental health conditions. I had to deal with things like anxiety, depression, and suicidal ideation, and you know, I have to go get my genes checked now for the APOE gene. If I have that, I'm more susceptible to early onset dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. It's a really serious issue, and it's a human issue. And the reason I do this is to make sure that police officers, firefighters, veterans, mothers, sons, coaches, teammates understand symptoms and signs so they can better recognize them. Not only in themselves, but in other people, and then they can move forward and get the proper treatment that they deserve.
Yeah, it can be a societal problem, but Dan, how frustrated are you? We saw it again, another suspension handed down to Lemieux. How frustrated are you in the game that you grew up, you loved, made your living playing, that you still see headshots amongst guys in the NHL?
It's frustrating. It's frustrating that they don't get punished accordingly, because to be honest, the only time I listened was when I got that big suspension for, you know, and I lost 40 or 50 grand. That's where it needs to go. You know, it also needs to move into a space where the substance abuse program, instead of showing the effects of cocaine and telling us about the effects of weed on our brain, they can provide us with the information, or provide the players now with the information of the risks of repetitive head trauma. And what actually happens to your brain as your brain chemistry changes. You know, like, they can use those scare tactics. If they use those scare tactics, guys will get educated. Guys will, to be honest with you, hopefully get a little scared. And then I think the respect level might come up a little bit when you see a guy in a vulnerable position. You know, right now, nobody is educated on this stuff. Nobody in the NHL understands the risks of doing their job. That's dangerous. You have 18-year-old kids in the NHL, 18 years old. We move away from home at 15 to go to the OHL. We're kids. You need to provide the proper understanding and education. And then on top of that, provide proper diagnosis and care, not from an athletic therapist or a strength and conditioning coach, or an orthopedic surgeon that's really good at fixing your ACL. Get a neurologist on staff. Get a functional neurologist or a chiropractic neurologist at the very least.
Dan Carcillo, Dan Carcillo with us here on Sportsnet 650. And Dan, I love the passion where you're at and what you're saying, and I think for everybody listening right now, I think they can fully appreciate it. That being said, you know, you played more than a handful. You got over 400 games in the National Hockey League as a guy who, you know, you weren't the biggest guy, and you played on the edge. You know, you were kind of that guy who was a bit of a shift disturber out on the ice and kind of walked that fine line. Part of me would think that your game, if you don't play the way you do on that edge, you're not necessarily in the NHL. Do you think that you're, knowing what you know now, does that change your game, and are you as effective a player?
Well, I don't agree with your comment. I scored 30 goals a year in the OHL. I got drafted 72nd overall in the NHL, and I only had, I think, 4 fights in the OHL. So I didn't get drafted as a fighter. All right, I got drafted as a hockey player, and I played the game hard. And we learned how to play the game of hockey by taking your opponent's will away. That's what we were taught when I grew up. That's how you were taught to play the game of hockey. You take your opponent's will away, you break them down over 60 minutes, and once they hesitate at the 58th minute to go get that puck, that's when you'll win. That's how I was taught to play the game. It's different now, and I accept that. Should fighting exist? No. There's no other sport in the world where you get hit with a bare knuckle. Right? Yes, I know that getting hit in the head is not good for you, but when you're playing for a $4 billion entity, you need the proper education and understanding from the best doctors in the world, and that is still not happening.
And so. Dan, I appreciate you. You did have you scored a ton of goals in the OHL. I know that, and you were a high draft pick, and I get all that. Today, if you're running the NHL, how would you avoid more concussions, avoid more fighting, avoid more dirty work? What would be some of the things that you would implement to stop what you're trying to stop?
Heavy fines, scare tactics, like I said, take a camera to an Alzheimer's clinic, talk to the family members affected. My grandmother passed away from Alzheimer's. It's a brutal disease. Literally give these guys the information that's out there right now and that's been out there since the year 2000, right? Honestly, like, educate these guys about the risks. Number two or three, I mean, I think that head hits need to be addressed accordingly as far as big, big, big suspensions and big fines. I would look at not per se looking at taking games away. I would look at the offender's schedule and taking as many days as you can away from him, so that he doesn't get paid and he loses more money. The only thing that guys care about when they get suspended in the regular season, especially when it's October 3rd, is money. That's it. The only games they care about losing are the last 20 or the playoff games.
What do you make of a guy like Tom? What do you make of a guy like Tom Wilson, repeat offender? And there's so many people that say, "Hey, he changes things for Washington when he's on the ice."
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't want to get into a hockey discussion. Like I said, I don't care about the NHL and Tom Wilson. And I think what they handed down to him was great. You know, I'm just trying to educate as far as making concussions a human issue. And, you know, if Tom Wilson has to be a pariah for that, then so be it, because I was a pariah when I made mistakes. You know, if you guys sitting in the position you're in got to say whatever you wanted about me, you know, and you're still allowed to, well, now the tables have turned, and I can hold people accountable. And like I said, I'm not here to make rule changes for the NHL. I don't care about that. I'm just here to highlight concussions as I see them. There's a ton in the NHL. I know that they're still not properly getting diagnosed and treated. They're definitely still not understanding and being provided the education that human beings deserve. Let's remember that athletes are human beings. And I don't think that's right. So, you know, I'm on my path right now, and I appreciate you guys having me on and to highlight the advocacy work I'm doing. But I'd like to kind of keep it specific to that and not comment on hockey.
Yeah, Dan, Dan, I thank you for coming on. We just had a text to the station. A team needs to hire Dan Carcillo. Well spoken. Got to educate the kids. So you know what? Your message is being heard. Keep doing it. Thanks for coming on our station.
You're welcome. I appreciate you guys for having me on.
Hey, Dan, before you go real quick, who was the person that retired their own jersey in the East Coast League anyway?
Al McIsaac. What a joke.
Al McIsaac.
Al McIsaac. Yeah.
Thanks, Dan.
Champ kind. See you guys.
Thank you. And a nice little pipe bomb courtesy of Dan Carcillo. You know what? Great perspective.